25 pro handicappers, $30,000 on the line. This is the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network. Here's your host, Matt Humans.
It's Football Friday night in Vegas, and this is where football meets flavor. VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. All right, the Circus Sportsbook is packed. The Oregon Ducks are driving, and Jason Jarvis is in studio right now. Jarvis in a tie for third in the Friday night contest. A two-time top 10 finisher in the Circa Million, a professional gambler out of Connecticut. Can we still call you a professional gambler after you hit the casino last night?
Yes, you can.
Pros don't win all the time, right?
It was a good night. It was a good start to the trip.
You spent many hours at the table last night, tables since you got in here yesterday from Connecticut. And we went to Barry's last night. And Chris Massaro likes to talk. His buddy Jimmy Frazier loves to talk.
He really likes to talk.
Yeah, he loves to talk. But the undisputed champion of the talking contest last night was Jason Jarvis once again.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. All right, so let's set up the game here between Indiana and Oregon. We have a pick six. 11 seconds into it. Hoosiers up 7-0. Is that the point where you jump in live on the Oregon Ducks? That number got up to 7.5. Did you play it?
It actually got to 10.5 in MGM. I went to hit submit, and they dropped it to 6.5.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I got it 7.5 here at Circa.
7.5 here.
I was already in on Oregon at +4. I just saw great value. I mean, it's a fluke play. 7-0 right off the rip. But if you feel like your handicap's the right side, I'll take the extra few points and lot of time left, so I'm not sure what's going on now, but you know, Oregon was driving right
after
that.
Yeah, we're at a timeout right now, so we'll get back, we'll reset it when they come back from the timeout. But what were your pregame plays on this tonight?
I had Oregon +4, and I had a parlay with Indiana as the last leg to close out as a pick 'em, so I was really hoping Indiana would win by 1 to 3 points.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you on that boat tonight, too. That'd be a great result. Ducks really needed this drive, Jason. And you make that live bet on Oregon +7.5. When you throw a pick six to start the game, you can't go 3 and out on the next possession. They drive down. They're in position to score here. And we'll see where we're standing
points.
When we come back from
touchdown
the
touchdown would be huge, but they need
of course.
Points for sure.
But you got to have points. You got to sustain a drive. You can't punt it right back. And Oregon has recovered a little bit here. And we have yet to see Fernando Mendoza on the field. How about last night with Miami coming back to win 31-27? The favorite covers, barely, over the total. How'd you do on last night's game?
It was like kissing your sister. I wanted Miami to win, but by 3 or less, and they won by 4. So uh-huh. I kind of
my sister's hot, by the way.
Well, then it was a good result.
Here we go. It's, what do we have here? First down at the, where are we at,
17-yard line.
8 minutes to go in the first quarter.
About to be Ducks second
gonna,
and 11.
Yeah,
second
I was going to say, 12. That running play is going nowhere. It's going backwards. You're going to lose 12, and it's going to be second and 2. So here are the standings for the Friday Football Invitational going into the final 2 weeks. And, Jason, we expanded the contest this year from 18 weeks to 20. 3 plays this week, 3 plays next week, fewer games on the board to pick from, obviously. Chris Massaro, who just left the studio, is the leader. 78 points, 72, 52, and 2 against the spread, 10, 7, and 1 on the best bets. The Bear, Chris Felica, in second, 4.5 points back. Jason Jarvis and Scott Pritchard right there in third and fourth, 5.5 points back. Kenny White, Frank Carulli, Matt St. Marie, and Carl Sack also rounding out. Is that a touchdown,
That's
Oregon?
A one-handed grab, or did he drop it?
I think he dropped it. Looked for a minute like he might have made a one-handed catch. So there you go. There's your Elite Eight. We started with a field of 25 handicappers. $30,000 in the prize pool. Derek Stevens of Circa put up the money. $15,000 the first. Top 5 positions paid. Top 5 finishers automatically get invited back next season. And most likely the Elite Eight, all of the Elite Eight will be invited back next season. And Jason Jarvis, right now you're in third. Do you feel like you still have a shot to catch Chris Massaro from behind?
No, no shot.
Okay.
However, I think that going forward, we ought to call this a 14-week contest, and I'd like to retroactively start that this year.
Touchdown Ducks.
There we go.
Dante Moore connected with Johnson on that one, and 7-6. There you go. Feeling better about your live bet on Oregon plus 7.5.
I like where I have a little leverage now. 7.5.
19-yard TD catch by Jamari Johnson from Dante Moore, and the Ducks are right back in this after that near disastrous start with the pick six, 11 seconds.
I hope we're not ruining it for anyone watching Saturday morning, the rerun.
So this show is not going to be replayed overnight, so we can talk about the live betting aspect of this game.
Excellent.
Yeah. The downside of that is Saturday morning, viewers are not going to be able to see Jason Jarvis in his nice suit. But you can watch replays of the show. VSiN.com. Every show is replayed. Sharp suits you got on tonight.
Thank you, buddy.
7-7 between Oregon and Indiana. 7-11 to go in the first quarter. What are your favorite casino games? I call you a professional gambler. You actually have another job.
Yeah, I have a real job. But
you're also a poker player. You do a lot of different things in the gambling arena. What do you do?
My favorite table game is Crapless Craps. Being a degenerate who loves to roll the dice, nothing better than rolling those aces or the 12s. 6-1 odds. Derek and Greg put it in for me here at Circa a couple months back. It's my first time since they put it in, and I got him a little bit last night. And let's just say maybe the alcohol kicked in. I gave a little bit back, but you know, I'm ready for a little late night action.
Actually, you were at the Golden Gate, I believe, last night, right? For the night starts here, 6 p.m. every night. You can get a free drawing with a voucher to play in the casino, plus 1 hour open bar. How about that? 6 to 7 every night. Night starts here at Golden Gate, and you were there last night, correct?
Probably the last thing I needed.
Yeah?
With the open bar?
Oh, I thought you did really well over there. No, that's not where you did well last night. You and your buddy Rich, and Rich congratulated Chris Massaro on winning the contest and trying to jinx him to give you a chance. You and the Bear a chance to track him down from behind. Now, you were 13-4-1 on your best bets. You got the top best bet record in this contest. You had 11 best bet winners in a row. You were red hot. You were in the zone that handicappers dream of being in for a while there. How long did you feel like you were in the zone? About 6 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And honestly, Thanksgiving has always doomed me, but I loved the Packers over the Lions that game. That would have been my best bet if it was eligible. It doesn't matter because I would have lost the following week. So 11-12, what's the difference? But I felt pretty good. And I wasn't even really focused on the best bet win streak until about 8 or 9 into it. And then I'm like, damn, I can get double digits. And that, you know, I think week 8, I was really hoping I could win. Then week 9, it got more fun as the weeks went by. It also added a little bit of pressure, but it was a good ride.
That was a great ride. 11 straight best bet winners. Cooled off a little bit down the stretch. So I mentioned also you're a 2-time top 10 finisher in the Circa Million. I know you were making a charge there, and then you finished just outside the top 100, right?
I had a really, really bad stretch, Matt, from Thanksgiving, which always, I mean, that's my kryptonite. Every year, even in 2021 when I took 4th, I went 1-4 Thanksgiving week and actually gained a half game. It was just a death week for everyone. But Thanksgiving, for some reason, just drags me down, and this year it was a 4-week rut, and unfortunately it cost me because I was tied for 25th at the time in the Circa Millions, and I had the Ravens last game of the year, week 18, Sunday night, and if they ended up covering, I do believe if Kyle Hamilton doesn't leave with a concussion, they do cover that game. It was a complete game changer when he went out, but I went from being tied for top 80 to tied for 129, which is kissing your sister. And she's
twice,
not hot.
That's twice you've used
not
that
hot.
There. All right, let's get to
the ugly sister.
Let's get to one of your plays this week. You did not play the Indiana-Oregon game, but you are going to play a big one here. Packers-Bears. This was Pick'em, Bears slight favorites. You're going to lay 1.5 with the Packers. That's a contest number here at Circa.
Yeah, so full disclosure, I really don't have a best bet this week.
Well, this is not your best bet either.
It's not, but I toyed with it. And I never really want a favorite to be on my best bet unless I'm really, really strong on the game. You know, both these meetings prior meetings this year, great for TV, came down to the last possession. Obviously, the Packers intercepted Caleb Williams in the first game at home. Then, you know, you have the walk-off touchdown to Moore in the second game. But the Packers are limping into this one. They've lost 4 in a row, but I don't put a lot of stock in that. You know, they're making their 3rd straight playoff appearance. The Bears haven't been in the playoffs since 2020. To me, that's the big difference here. You know, it's 2 division rivals. They know each other very well. I just think that the Lions gave the Packers the blueprint on how to win this game. They held they held the Bears rushers to 65 yards last week. their defense, and I know they don't have Micah Parsons, but it's still a much better defense than most of the league. And, you know, let's face it, the Bears have been very fortunate all year with the turnovers and everything else that they've done to win these games. I just think the Packers are the better team. I think Jordan Love and his playoff experience is going to be the difference here. The Bears defense, far from, they're porous. Mm-hmm. I think Jacobs can run right through them. I think that Love can kind of pick them apart. And I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay wins this game by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs actually said this week that he feels the best he has in a couple of months. He sat out last week's game, and the Packers running back's going to be healthy here. Quick check on Indiana and Oregon. We got a third down, a little over 6 minutes to go. Fernando Mendoza is going to be in the shotgun here on third and four, and this is going to be his first pass attempt of the game. After Dante Moore drove the Ducks down to tie this at seven, Mendoza fires to the sideline.
Nice catch.
That's going to be complete. How about the receiver shielding off the DB with his body? I believe that was Surratt. And first down, Indiana. How about the throw? Do you feel like Fernando Mendoza should be the top pick by the Raiders?
I don't know.
You haven't made that determination yet?
First of all, I'm terrible when it comes to looking at a college player and evaluating them.
So are the Raiders.
Whether it's college football or basketball,
mm-hmm.
how they play at the next level, unless they're a standout, like a guy like a Bijan or someone like that. I don't know about Mendoza. I mean, he's a great kid. He's the kind of guy you want to draft just because of his personality and his leadership skills, but I'm not sure he's an NFL first-round pick, but I could be wrong.
A lot of scouts watching this game tonight. Dante Moore, Fernando Mendoza tied at 7. Indiana currently a 4.5-point favorite live, total 57.5. Hoosiers minus 210 on the money line as they are driving. More with Jason Jarvis after a quick break on the Friday Football Invitational.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Is the Circa Friday Football Invitational presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Indiana Hoosiers threatening to score here. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of the Circa Friday Football Invitational. If you're looking for arguably the best bet, the best steak cut Omaha Steaks has to offer, it starts with their private reserve ribeye crown steaks. These USDA certified tender steaks are carved from the most prized part of the ribeye, the cap. Known for exceptional marbling, rich flavor, unmatched tenderness. One bite, you'll understand why it's called the crown jewel of the ribeye. From kickoff to the final whistle, Omaha Steaks brings championship level flavor to every game day table. And right now, when you spend $129, you score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Jason Jarvis out of Connecticut in studio right now, tied for third in the Friday Football Invitational. Jarvis, we've been distracted here watching the Indiana-Oregon game. And Hoosiers.
We need to stop.
Threatening to go up. You bet live after the pick six to open the game to put Indiana up 7-0. You took Oregon +7.5 live, right?
Laying juice, I did.
Yeah, I think Indiana's about to score right here. The live betting screen is showing 13-7, so let's see what happens from the 9-yard line. It's going to be a Mendoza pass and 6 for the Hoosiers, 13-7.
When are we going to describe live TV as delayed TV?
Well, I know it's delayed by about 20 to 30 seconds.
45 seconds.
Sometimes 40 to 50 seconds. Yeah. Just depends on what feed you've got. By the way, we have 5 plays on this game tonight from 4 handicappers. Kenny White is on Indiana -3 as his best bet. Chris Felica on Oregon +3. The Bear also on under 48.5.
It doesn't look very good.
Carl Sack on under 48.5. You don't have to dump all over those guys' plays. How about Scott Pritchard's best bet? Indiana-Oregon over 48.5. And Scott Pritchard tied with you for third, Jason Jarvis.
Scott's a sharp better.
I'll tell you what, the under does not look good right now. These offenses are moving up and down the field. Indiana up 14-7. The live number at DraftKings, 6.5, minus 120. Live total, Jason, how about this live total? 59.5 right now.
Sounds about right.
All right, so we talked about your first play in the contest, and that's Packers -1.5 at Chicago. You going to be here at Circus Sports watching this game on Saturday?
Absolutely.
How about the Rams-Panthers, the early game tomorrow? Rams right now 10-point favorites here, 10.5 at most books. Peaked at 11, total of 46. You don't have a play on this game, though, right?
I don't. It's actually back to 10.5. I just looked behind us. Okay. And, you know, these teams met in Week 13. The Panthers won that game, but I do not envision a repeat of that. You know, let's not forget, the Panthers kind of backed their way into the playoffs here. They're under 500. This is about the Rams. You know, for most of the year, the Rams were being anointed as the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Stafford looked incredible, most likely, you know, a top two MVP candidate, if not the winner. This to me is all about, and I'm waiting till tomorrow to see the real weather, because I'm not concerned about the rain, but I want to look more at the wind, because that's much more impactful on quarterbacks and what might play out. But Stafford's been incredible. He's got Adams back. Nacua, probably the best receiver in the game. And the guy, week in, week out, he makes a better catch one week.
Incredible.
Just the one-handed grabs the guy makes is absolutely insane. So for me, you know, the Rams, I don't like laying wood like 10.5. Last time I did that was the Chiefs over the Raiders. They won 31-0. To me, this is Rams or pass. Mm-hmm. I just think Stafford, he's going against a defense that actually, not just in the playoffs, but the Panthers have the worst quarterback pressure of any team in football this year. You give Stafford that much time back there to pick you apart, game over. So I could see this being a 34-10 kind of game. I don't think Carolina is going to have much of a chance. They might hang close in the first quarter with home field, but if I was going to make a play in this game, it's the Rams laying 10.5.
Yeah, money line price on the Rams is pretty steep right now. Almost -600 and or a little bit higher at some spots, 590 here at Circa. Rams 10.5-point favorites. That number just ticked up from 10. We talked about Packers, Bears. By the way, the weather in Chicago, any factor when you handicap it? It's supposed to be bitterly cold and windy at Soldier Field on Saturday night.
Not really.
No?
Okay. Yeah, both these teams play. They come from the same elements. Right. They both play in this week in, week out. So,
Mike North of Chicago is going to be on next segment to talk Packers, Bears. How about Bills, Jaguars? And Jason Jarvis just did not make your card either. And Circa right now, it's a pick'em total of 51.5.
This was close. So the first bet I made this week was actually a 6.5-point tease with the Packers +8 and Jaguars +8.
Sure.
So, you know, to me, I joked yesterday when I was talking to JVT and Stormy that Josh Allen's got to be jumping out of his chair. You know, no Lamar, no Mahomes. This is his year to win it all. But the reality is he's got the NFL's leading rusher to hand the ball off to. But besides that, you know, they're a really good offense, but I've got a lot of questions still with the Buffalo defense. Conversely, you're going against Trevor Lawrence, who's pulled off his best Josh Allen imitation. Nine mm-hmm. rushing touchdowns, leads the team. He's been lights out. I just think Jacksonville's a very good, well-rounded team this year. They're balanced. You know, Parker Washington's kind of come out of nowhere, became the wide receiver one for them. With Thomas having a lot of drop issues early in the season, they picked up Jacoby from the Raiders, I believe.
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. And you know what? Strange is an underrated, very solid tight end. And then, you know, the Jaguars defense is sneaky good. They've had a lot of interceptions and turnovers this year. The thing that scares me, and I mentioned this yesterday, I feel like it's a very popular play.
Jaguars? Well, no questions.
Popular. So, you know, I'm not going to bet them pick them. I bet them +8. But I'm going to stay away from the game, see what happens. It might be a nice live bet option.
All right.
Let's not forget, too, they might have the best kicker in the NFL. And
that could
play, you know.
He can kick bombs.
That could be the difference here.
Might want to bet that prop on the longest field goal for Jaguars.
What is it?
I don't know.
52.5. Huh? I'll take it.
Yeah. How about Niners, Eagles in Philadelphia? You talked about this with Chris Massaro here. He took the points with the 49ers +5.5. Circa has bumped this up to 6, 44.5. This did not make your card either. You got two plays coming up here, but this did not make it.
Yeah, so, I mean, real quick on this one. Mm-hmm. This, to me, is simple. It's all about the defenses. San Fran has just been patching the D together for the better part of the season. They've been won games this year by outscoring their opponents. That's not going to work against the Philly D. They're an elite defense. You know, San Fran's D played well against Seattle, but their offense got stymied. And I could really see the Eagles defense doing the same thing here. To me, this is a counterintuitive play, but to me, it's a favorite in the under. I think the Eagles win this game 30-10, 30-13.
Really?
Okay. I don't think San Fran's going to be
able Eagles to. The Eagles offense has been, Philly offense has been floundering.
It has, but.
For much of the season.
You know, this could be the game where they just all of a sudden put things together.
All right, let's talk about two plays you do have here in the final 3 minutes. Chargers-Patriots. This is your best bet. You're taking Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh, and 3.5 in Foxborough.
I hate the Patriots. They've cost me millions since Tom Brady started there.
Huh? Millions?
All right, a lot of money.
Okay.
I've always bet against Brady. He always burned me. And, you know, the reality is I only took this as my best bet because of the hook. I'm going to, you know, this is a contest. So I've got to take advantage. Mm-hmm. I took the Lions last week +3, but that's because I was very convinced they were going to beat the Bears outright, and they did.
You called that.
This week, I easily could have gone with the Packers. I didn't want to use a favor as my best bet. And my next play, which was Pittsburgh, I teetered. But again, with the line being 3, I got to try to catch the leaders. I think Chris probably wrapped this up, but I want to get second place so I can buy Felica dinner. And that's why I went with the best bet this week being the
quickly
Chargers.
Mentioned that you previously worked at ESPN. You worked with the Bear, Chris
Felica. I did. Chris was a researcher. I was studio production. That was about 25 years ago, but he's a good guy, and we got a little side action here.
All right. Well, right now you've got a 4.5-point lead on the Bear. He's not looking good
No. I'm up a game behind the Bear.
Oh, sorry. Massaro's got a 4.5-point lead on the Bear. You are 1 point behind. He is not looking great here on this total, under 48.5 on Oregon, Indiana. One more play for you. Let's get to it. I want to give you time to talk about it. 1 minute to go. Steelers +3 on Monday night. I'm with you on this. I took 3.5.
So I told you the first bet I took was the teaser. The second bet I took was Houston -2.5, -0.25. And I think I actually texted you on that in the middle of the night. The next day I did a little more research and the line went from 3 and all of a sudden 3.5. And I actually put a bigger bet on the Steelers at +3.5. To me, this is, first of all, I think Houston's going to be a very popular public play. You never want to be with the masses as they tend to be, you know, the masses without the M. I think this could just be the absolute perfect scenario for Pittsburgh. Ugly game, 16-13, 17-16, one of those kind of slug it out. You know, the Texans' offense doesn't scare you. Their defense is phenomenal. But Aaron Rodgers is a smart guy. He's been in this league for a long time. They've got opportunities to dump it off with Gainwell, to run the ball. I just think this sets up, you know, if you watched last Sunday and that game crushed me, I had the Ravens, and when Kyle Hamilton went out, I knew it was night over because he is such a difference maker. But that was a defensive battle, and the Pittsburgh D looked pretty good limiting Baltimore's offense. I could see them doing the same because I think Baltimore's offense is a lot more potent than the Texans. And this to me, I mean, what? I think it's 1903. The Steelers haven't lost a game Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
Tell me.
At Jay Jarb NFL Bets.
Sounds good to me.
Your wife and kids at home in Connecticut, very proud watching tonight.
This is the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now and get daily best bets from VSiN host and guest. Real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. VSIN.com/subscribe. Start betting smarter today. VSIN.com/subscribe. Talking about a smart guy, how about Mike North? Let's go out to Chicago on a progressive guest line. Longtime Chicago sports radio host joins us now. And Mike North, great to have you on tonight. Let's take a look at the standings here. You finished 11th in this contest, but there's no quit. There's no quit in Mike North. Even though you did not make the Elite Eight, you continued to put picks on the website the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And Mike, at 11th, 57-53-2 ATS, 60.5 points. Just missed the final Elite Eight cut. How you doing this weekend?
Yep. I'm doing great. First, Matt, thanks a lot for having me in that thing. I know, and for people that don't realize it, back in the Pioneer days, when we started the contest, I came in last. And I had told Matt I never finished last in anything in my life. And then I wasn't in the contest the last couple. I pulled out of the next year. I was invited. I said I didn't deserve it. Give it to somebody else. Then I missed the next year and then came back this year. Was in it all the way to week 16. You know, you need some bounces. I had finally had a bad week at the wrong time, but I was really happy with my showing this week. It's not easy this year. It's not easy to go above 500 in the NFL, no matter what they tell you on the radio.
There you go. You can see the standings right there. Chris Massaro, Chris Felica, Jason Jarvis, Scott Pritchard, Kenny White, Frank Carulli, Matt St. Marie, Carl Sack, your Elite Eight, and a tie for ninth, Frank Betty and Anthony Curtis, that team, Chris Piper, Mike North in 11th, Steve Fezzik in 12th, and Alex White right there at the bottom of the first page of the leaderboard.
Great guys.
That's right. A lot of sharp handicappers there, Mike. And Steve Fezzik's going to be in studio here in the final hour tonight. Mike, I wanted to ask you, while you're home in Chicago tonight in the suburbs,
Yes, sir. Are
you watching the Indiana-Oregon game? And did you ever think in your lifetime you'd see the Indiana Hoosiers one step from winning a national championship in football?
Let me tell you something. I used to be a hot dog vendor at Dyke Stadium, which is now where Ryan Field was for Northwestern. And I had a stand in front of the place. And slow torture. There was a couple days that were not good for Northwestern football. Whenever Ohio State came in, okay, they'd bring just their fans because they couldn't draw flies on their own. But the worst of the days were Indiana and Northwestern football teams in the 60s and the 70s. I mean, the last time that Indiana was a pertinent bowl game by anybody's standards, maybe not, but by their standards, it's pertinent, was the Copper Bowl in 1992, Matt. So, yeah, I never thought I'd see it happen. And I never thought I'd see what happened, what they did to Alabama, regardless of – I didn't think Alabama belonged. The SEC now will – and I've been on with you for a few years where I decry the favoritism. I just think it's good for the Big Ten right now, what's going on. And the SEC just had another miserable year, and sooner or later, you can't get away with saying you want 6, 7, 8 teams. They're finally going to play an even up schedule with the rest of the conferences, which they never had to do at 8, which to me tipped a hand for them as also. So it looks like there's been a changing of the guard. So we got a lot of good football now. We got the Bears in the pack. I mean, it's all, I'm jacked for that. I mean, I never thought it was going to happen, period.
It's going to be a great weekend of football. Mike North with us, Chicago Sports Radio personality. You can follow him at North2North, the number 2. And Indiana Hoosiers here trying to drive up 14-7. Third and 7 with 10.5 minutes to go before halftime. Mike, you mentioned it. Big Ten trying to win 3 straight national championships here. Be a 3-peat Michigan, followed by Ohio State. And then the winner of Indiana-Oregon going to play for the championship against Miami. The main reason you're jumping on here tonight to talk about Packers-Bears. Mike, do you know the only time the Bears have defeated the Packers in the playoffs was the Sunday after Pearl Harbor? That was a long time ago.
Right. It was canceled. It was canceled. For the original game was supposed to be on Pearl Harbor Day, and boom, we got hit, and then they moved the game. They didn't play football that day.
That was way back in 1941. So the Bears trying to.
I'll never forget you and I used to skip rocks at the pad. Yeah.
You were not at that game, by the way. You were not at that Packers-Bears playoff game. You remember the Jay Cutler game when Cutler sat out with a knee injury against the Packers in the NFC Championship. That was disgraceful, in my opinion.
I despise that man. I always despised him. He was not. This was a guy they gave $118 million to, and he was the face of the franchise. And I used to call him Puss Face because that's all he ever gave. He was the fans really didn't like him. The media kissed up to him, the Bears, you know, because the media really kisses up to everybody now, except to the reader or the listener. So, he was bad news. But I do think there's room for Caleb Williams. Do I trust him 100%? Do I think next year he comes back and we're in the same spot? No, we've had some definite good bounces. We know by the great gift of finally some luck going our way. I mean, I've been a Bear fan since 1961, Matt, and I used to see all these other teams getting lucky bounces here and there, going on winning streaks, winning championships that, you know, you didn't think they were going to even be involved with. I said, why can't that ever happen to us? And it's finally happened, and I couldn't be more gratified. I had them picked for, I think, seven, eight wins this year. I didn't have them near. When somebody says, what do you think they're going to do? I say, you know what? I'm in no position because I was finally wrong about them. I've been right about them every year for almost two decades. So Ben Johnson turned out to be the right pick. I didn't think he deserved the $13 million when he got it. That was made him the seventh highest head coach. I said he hadn't been a head coach in pro football, and then all of a sudden he does this, so he deserves the $13 million. And Caleb Williams has come through when he has to. I don't know how long he could sustain that. They improved the offensive line, and I think the Bears... See, I grew up in the 60s, so when we played the Packers, we feared them. Okay, the Lombardi Packers. Then we played the Reggie White Packers, okay, and we feared them. The good years were the Ditka years against Forrest Gregg, those Green Bay teams, we whipped up on them. And then we had the Aaron Rodgers and Favre years. So I come from a land of abuse as a Bear fan to the hand of the Green Bay Packers. Yep. So, look, they're favored on the road against us. I do not fear them, this Packer team, like I feared, and I think you've been around long enough and you're a historian of the game, past Packer teams.
I agree with you completely. By the way, the luck factor has been off the charts for this Bears team, winning so many close games, comebacks, maybe none luckier than week 16, recovering the onside kick, defeating the Packers 22-16 in overtime at Soldier Field. Right now, the number is Packers 1.5. Mike, we got about 2 minutes to go here. Do you have a good feeling about this game? I know you come from a land of abuse with the Bears, but do you have a good feeling about this game? How do you think it's going to play out?
I think it's a field goal game either way, and I'm not coughing a plea here. I'm not riding the fence here. Look, you asked me this in the past 10 years. I say the Packers are going to win. You know me, Matt. I play it fair and square. But I'm here to tell you, the Bears can run on this team. They don't scare us. We already beat them. I heard another reporter, Danny Orlovsky, say unless they get multiple turnovers, they can't win. Well, that's BS because Green Bay only had one turnover and we beat them when we just got done playing them. So,
Mike, do not listen. Do not listen to Dan Orlovsky. Okay, you know better than that.
You know, well, the steam comes out of my ears. It gives me something to be angry about. I mean, I get up at 5 in the morning, and I watch some of the news channels. I'm ready to kill somebody by 5:15. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. By the way, apparently, look at this. Oregon loses a fumble, and Indiana's got the ball in the 2-yard line. Disaster strikes for the Ducks again. They give up a pick six. Now they fumble inside the 5-yard line. Indiana in business to try to go up 2 touchdowns. Mike, here in the final minute, the weather's not going to be that bad at Soldier Field tomorrow. I think it's going to be cold, not that windy. And your prediction is Packers or Bears field goal either way, huh?
Yeah, I think it's field goal either way. It's going to be a close ball game. It's what they've been. I mean, the last few years, I mean, there's not a whole lot of the last two scores. There's not a lot separating them. The common denominator is, can the Bear defense get off the field and can they run the football against Green Bay? I don't think Ben Johnson's a hell of a play caller. Best, one of the best I've ever seen. He's sort of like a Cignetti story here in Chicago, if you want to know the truth.
Right.
So I like it either way, pal.
Mike, it's always great talking to you, man. Nice job, 11th place in the contest, and have a great weekend.
God bless, buddy. Take care, and thanks for having me.
That's Mike North out of Chicago. We take a quick break. Indiana Hoosiers knocking on the door to go up 2 touchdowns, and they're still at the 2-yard line. Jeff Cusera out of New Jersey is the Average Joe contest leader. He's on deck.
Yeah.
is the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome back to the show. Took the points with the Oregon Ducks tonight, but obviously, as I said when the show opened, I bet a lot of Indiana money line too, minus 180, minus 160 when that thing dropped. I did not see Indiana losing this game. Thought it was going to be tight going to the wire, but the Ducks have had two disastrous plays so far tonight. A pick six to open the game, 11 seconds into it, and now Dante Moore, the quarterback, gets he was dropping back to pass. He got the ball knocked out of his hands before he could fire, and a fumble inside the five. Indiana up 21-7. Live number at DraftKings is 12.5. Live total up to 61.5. And the money line on Indiana, yeah, that minus 160 was a bargain because now it's minus 720. All right, the Average Joe contest presented by Edge Boost has had several outstanding handicappers emerge this season. I'll give you the list. Jeffrey Cusera is going to join us next from Galloway, New Jersey. Clyde Walker, Chester Vien, Cam Kaminsky, Steve Williams, Sheldon Duke, William Barnard, Jason Ball, Max Newberry, Ryan Clinton, Tom Albright. Some of those, most of those guys in the top 10 right now. And last night, it was Clyde Walker playing the Miami Hurricanes, getting a win there, and he moved in the first place by a half point ahead of Chester Vien and Jeff Cusera, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, again from Galloway, New Jersey. Jeff, outstanding job in the contest. Right now you are 78-47-1, 11-7 on your best bets, 84 total points. That's 6 points better than the leader in the Friday night contest. Outstanding job. What's been the secret to your success? Kelly, tell us a little bit about your background and what you do in New Jersey.
Sure. Well, first thing I want to say is I want to thank you for having me on the show tonight. I'm a huge fan of VSiN. I love the contest show. So I just want to start off by thanking you for having me on tonight. Let's see. First of all, I've been married 33 years to a wonderful woman. I have two kids who are 26 and 23. They both have moved out of the house. So now the wife and I are empty nesters. I grew up in the suburbs of Philly. I went to school in New Jersey, and I'm living now down here in South Jersey. I was a school teacher. I just retired in December. So this is a tremendous coincidence that this contest was going on at the same time that I was retiring. So it's just so great that I finished a couple of days ago, and I'm just so excited how well I've been doing in the contest so far. I just cannot believe how well I'm doing right now against some of these pros like Felica and Fessick. I can't believe I'm doing better than some of these guys. But you know better than everybody, Matt. Some days you do great, and some days you don't. So I'm just kind of hoping I can continue on doing as well as I can.
You've had a lot more good days than bad days, that's for sure, throughout this football season. You said you were a school teacher. Elementary school or high school? What'd you teach? What level?
Oh, I was an elementary school teacher. I taught fourth and I taught fifth grade. I did that for 34 years. So it was definitely a great challenge, and I loved every second. But as you all know, when it's time to go, everybody knows it's time to go. So I just enjoyed the fact of how long I lasted, and I just enjoyed teaching overall. It was a great experience.
All right, congratulations on a great career there. Did you teach the kids how to handicap football?
That's one thing I did stay away from. I definitely was a straight and narrow kind of guy, but that's funny you mention that because that's something I never really reflect on, but maybe somebody out there will take that idea and run with it.
Hey, the leader in the Friday night invitational is Chris Massaro, and his one of his plays is 49ers plus 5.5. You're going to be opposite Massaro here, and I think this might be your best bet, Jeff. Jeff Cassera out of New Jersey with us. And you said you like the Philadelphia Eagles here, right? You're going to lay the points with the Eagles as a home favorite here against the 49ers on Saturday.
Yeah, I love the Eagles when they were at -3.5. Yeah. Sunday. Yeah, I love them when they were at 3.5. But, you know, I'm still going to take them. You said the line's moved now. It's -6?
Six at Circa. 5.5, still a lot of other books out there. And I actually see a 4.5 at FanDuel, but 6 here at Circa, yeah.
Well, I'm still going to lay it because I got two big reasons here. The first one is I feel the Eagles are rested. The injury list came out. There's not one Eagle on there. I know Sirianni took a lot of flack from the press, the fans. He rested the team. But if you look back on it, and I just think this was one of the smartest things he could have done. I mean, a lot of these guys have played a lot of football, and rest is definitely needed. And we all know Lane Johnson, when he's playing, when he's on the field, their record is like night and day. He is just a stalwart, and he's rested and ready to go. And the second reason is, I don't know if many people knew this little fact or not, but at the beginning of the season, Jalen Hurts came out and told the team he really didn't want to scramble a lot. He didn't want to run. He really wanted to protect his body. And I feel that that's the reason why the offense kind of sputtered. And I really think that he's going to be running and he's going to take the team on his back. And I don't know which guy on the station said this or not, but you want to look at the quarterbacks and their rushing yardage in playoff games, because a lot of times these guys will take their team, put them on their back, and try and get that first down any way they can. I know San Francisco's playing well, but I think the defense is also going to give them a lot of problems. So I really like the Eagles D. I think they're playing great. Wish the line was a -3.5, but I'm still going to take them at 6. But my recommendation to the audience is we should all do a Mitch Moss ladder. Mm-hmm. We should take Hurst's rushing 31.5 yards and just ladder it up 40, 50, go to about 80. My opinion is I think he's going to be running all day and San Francisco will not be able to stop him.
You know, Paul Howard loves his kicking props and Mitch Moss loves the player props as well. And you follow those guys. So you're going to ladder the rushing yards on Jalen Hurts. What do you think he, what's your target number? What do you think Hurts is going to hit on the ground?
I think he's going to hit 80, okay. Could be more, because I just think he's going to run a lot, because I think the team might be behind at certain points. They're going to need that critical first down, and he's just going to take off with the ball, and it's going to happen more than once throughout the game. I just love that situation.
Jeff Cusera out of Galloway, New Jersey, right now tied for second because we had a move in the standings last night with Clyde Walker winning with the Miami Hurricanes, so he takes a half-point lead. Jeff, it's going to be tight here down to the end. The winner of the Average Joe contest presented by Edge Boost gets an automatic invitation to the Circa Friday Night Invitational. We might have a couple of you guys in this tournament next Friday, next season on Friday nights. We've got so many impressive performances here in the Average Joe contest. Jeff Cusera with us right now, and he's going to be on the Eagles. Do you know what you're going to use for your other two plays? And part two of that question, being an East Coast guy, do you have a good feel for the Patriots as 3.5-point home favorites against the Chargers?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because one of the things that I did throughout the contest was I kind of rode teams as a rooting interest, and one of my rooting interests was the Patriots throughout the year. And as you know, the Patriots pretty much played nobody throughout the season, and they've really covered the number, and they really came through a lot for me. I'm really kind of looking at that game because that 3.5, that kind of scares me. Is that the number at this point? It's -3.5?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah, that number scares me. The hook always scares me. It's funny. When you start playing these games and you do a lot of handicapping, you never realize how important that half point is. And that half point's just kind of scaring me right now because it's going to be a tight game. So the Patriots, I kind of am leaning to, but I'm just not sure of. But the other team that I really think is going to do well is I think Jacksonville is going to do well on, I guess they're playing Sunday night.
Yeah, okay, so here we got Rams-Panthers on Saturday in the first game, Packers-Bears Saturday night, and then we have three on Sunday. Bills-Jaguars is the first game in Jacksonville. Niners-Eagles on Sunday afternoon, Chargers-Patriots Sunday night, and then the Monday night game, obviously, Texans-Steelers in Pittsburgh. So the first game Sunday, Bills-Jags, that's a pick 'em right now here at Circa, Jeff.
Oh, wow. The line definitely moved towards Buffalo there. But I really do think that the Jacksonville defense is going to stymie Cook. He's not going to be able to run for as many yards as he can. And we all have to have faith in Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has to have a pretty good game. And sometimes when you put all that weight on top of him, sometimes he kind of crumbles a little bit. But I think he's going to do well. And I just think that Josh Allen, he's kind of that foot. They're kind of like pushing that off, and it's not a big deal, but I do think it is kind of a big deal, and that's going to really hamper his mobility. Because let's face it, he does a lot of running and a lot of scrambling, and that might really hurt him. But, yeah, those are the kind of leans I have right now. I haven't really made too many decisions, but you're absolutely right. Those Eagles, I think, are definitely going to be my best bet for going into the contest.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people think the door's open for Josh Allen now because you got no Lamar Jackson, no Patrick Mahomes, no Joe Burrow, but the Bills are going to have to win a road playoff game in Jacksonville and beat Trevor Lawrence to have a shot here. Jeff Cusera out of Galloway, New Jersey. Right now, at the top of the standings, Clyde Walker. We have Chester Vienne, Jeff Cusera, Cam Kaminsky, Ryan Clinton, and Steve Williams. And there you see the average Joe standings. Just some remarkable records from the average Joe contestants. And great job by you all season, Jeff. And great job on your spot here tonight. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you very much, Matt. I totally appreciate it. And thank you again for having me on the show tonight.
All right. Have a great weekend. Best of luck on your top three plays here in the Average Joe contest. Indiana Hoosiers just threatening to blow out Oregon. I believe we got another touchdown here, and it's 27-7. Hoosiers putting it on the Ducks. 3 minutes to go before the half in Atlanta. Wes Reynolds losing his mind right now.